Welcome to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. Coming up later this hour, we'll talk with former actor, Jeopardy champion, educator, and Spearfish native Kirk Jordan about his new exhibit of photographs of homeless people. That exhibit opens today at the Matthews Opera House and Art Center in Spearfish. Plus, we'll talk with State Department of Human Services Secretary Lori Gill about efforts to increase employment for South Dakotans with disabilities. But first, last week, federal prosecutors said they had charged five men from Russia and Ukraine for a hacking and credit card fraud scheme that cost companies more than $300 million. In what's being described as the biggest cybercrime case filed in U.S. history, the hackers stole at least 160 million card numbers. Also last week, locally, U.S. Attorney Brendan Johnson and State Highway Patrol Superintendent Colonel Craig Price had their Twitter accounts hacked. Johnson fell prey to what's commonly called a phishing scam. Despite being embarrassed about the situation, Johnson chose to talk about it publicly in the interest of raising awareness of cybersecurity. For more on cybersecurity and how to stay safe online, we're joined by Miguel Penaranda, cybersecurity analyst for the state of South Dakota. Miguel, thanks for joining us on Dakota Midday.
Thank you for having me.
Also with us is Emily Kyle. She runs social media for South Dakota's Bureau of Information and Telecommunications. And Emily, thanks for being with us as well.
Thanks, Carl.
Well, as we just mentioned, Brendan Johnson fell prey to a phishing scam. Miguel, what is this, and how does a phishing scam work?
Basically, there are a couple of factors that could have happened. We have a case of social engineering. When somebody's trying to get to trick a user into providing some information to bypass regular security procedures. And it could be, you know, sending an email from a known or trusted source in order for you to click on that and then be able to access your account without authorization. Another way would be simply following malicious links on different sites around the net.
Well, we always heard that, don't open things that come from a trusted source or from someone you don't know well. In the case of phishing, in this case with Brendan Johnson, as I understand it, it did come from a trusted source. Miguel, are there new things people need to be watching out for?
Yes. It's basically called common sense. For example, most of the things that come from even if it's from an email account that you trust, make sure that the spelling is correct, make sure that the timing of the email is correct, and of course, if in doubt, always contact the person through other methods, give them a call or something like that.
Well, Emily Kyle, I understand that you fell prey to a phishing scam last year too.
Yes, and I was also a little embarrassed, but, these phishing scams can happen to anyone. Mine was similar in the instance of Mr. Johnson and Colonel Price, in which it happened through my Twitter account. I received a direct message from a trusted source, and I happened to click on that link, which I thought was taking me to the user's Facebook page. However, it was malicious, and it took me to a URL that I was not familiar with, in which case I X'd out of it right away. However, during that short amount of time, my Twitter account then was sending other malicious direct messages to a few of my followers. I had to then, I did make contact with our security experts, just even though it was my own personal account, just to make sure I was taking the proper steps in getting it corrected, but changing my password. I had used that password in some other accounts. I had to change those passwords as well, and then I did, I think, similar to these gentlemen, sent out a message personally from my Twitter account that said, I apologize for any inconvenience this may have caused my followers. I've changed my password. You should not be receiving any of these other messages from me.
Well, what's interesting there is that, this happened to you, and it's happened to other people who are experts in the field. So it seems like this is something that can happen to anyone.
It certainly can. And echoing what Miguel had said, it does come down to common sense. I know it's very hard when it's coming from a trusted source or that someone that you think is the trusted source, but again, if there's any question on why somebody might be sending you that, you know, use a different mode of communication in getting connected with them and finding out if it is legit before, you know, just quickly acting and clicking on any links.
One thing that I notice sometimes is I receive emails and they're directed to a group of me and a group of other people I don't necessarily know. And sometimes these are emails from people who I haven't heard from in a while. Are these sort of the things that are sort of red flags that pop up?
Certainly. I mean, I have not seen any of those personally, but it all falls under the definition of a phishing scam. And again, if it looks suspicious in any way, you know, don't click on anything, don't reply, and just use your best judgment, your common sense, and making sure that you take the right steps before going any further.
And Emily, when we're talking about social media, things like Twitter and Facebook, Pinterest, how dangerous are social media? These things that really we have to really be on guard when we're out using these things?
You do. And, you know, one recommendation I will make too, and Miguel and I have talked about this, is using unique and different passwords for each one of those accounts, whether they're for your personal, outside of business, or for your business or state accounts.
Well, Miguel, the whole aspect of passwords, multiple sites, as Emily was just talking about, you know, other things you have to keep in mind, making those passwords difficult?
Absolutely. First of all, you never want to use dictionary words. You want to use a combination, for example, of numbers, letters, upper and lowercase, symbols as well. The other thing, apart from not using simple passwords, is you should always be able to enable two-factor authentication. And what that basically means is, apart from the password that is, you know, when you need to log into an account, it requires another form of authentication. The most common is basically on your phone, that the application asks you for to put a number that is always changing every 30 seconds. So, for example, YouTube or even Twitter, there is in their security page, they have the ability to enable two-factor authentication. So I would recommend anybody that has a Twitter account or YouTube, Google account, to enable that two-factor authentication, because even if the hacker is able to get one, the password itself, they cannot log in without the phone.
So. How difficult is it to, you know, you talk about all these different, we're on so many different sites and we have different social media accounts. Miguel, how do you keep track of all these different passwords?
Very good point. For example, you know, and I did a count, I believe, last week when we first started looking at this, you know, and I throw the number of 20 or 30 different accounts. And, there, you know, even at times, you need to create an account just for a thing that you're only going to do one time in your life. The best way to do it, that I have found, is to keep up to use a trusted password manager. And you may need one that is that uses a strong encryption, a local encryption in your computer. So I would recommend only one that I know of. It's called LastPass, and it's completely free. You can Google it and you know, read a little more about it. Basically, it will create very strong passwords, and it will encrypt them locally in your computer. Not even the company has the password or has a list of passwords, you know, for them. So that would be the best way to do it.
Well, Emily, Kyle, how much do you think people are, I guess this would be anecdotally, but do you think people are doing these things, or, you know, because it's you know, to a certain extent, it's a lot of work, a lot of things you got to keep in mind.
Oh, absolutely. Miguel and I were just having that conversation before coming on the air with you too, Carl, and, you know, I could honestly say I probably have 30 different accounts that I've created, and I, for me personally, I do keep record, you know, of my personal accounts as well as my business accounts, you know, and I keep them in a safe location, at home. I have it, you know, documented in a Word document along with some other important information if anything were to ever happen to me. And that's, it is locked in our safe at home. But I, if I need to access one of those accounts, I also have it on a jump drive. I don't know if that's the safest thing to do, but it's not on a piece of paper. But I can't remember all of the different accounts I have just off the top of my head, or their passwords. I mean, because I've got them for social media sites, I've got them for healthcare, you know, from insurance to clinics to the hospitals. Everything it seems to be online. You know, I have different bank accounts and, you know, different investment companies as well. And so keeping all of that straight is very hard. And, you know, the two-factor authentication that Miguel was talking about is a key component to keeping your account safe as well.
Well, Emily, you bring up an interesting point that I don't think we all, I don't think about it that often, is if something happens to you, mm-hmm. that others need to know your password. I know in my case, I just have various passwords written on strips of paper scattered about my office, and if something should happen to me, no one's going to know what these are.
Right. Yeah, I probably review that document monthly as well, just because things are always changing and it seems like I'm adding a new account every month, whether it's for work or for personal activities. But there's also another, you know, you could have a safe box in the bank as well with this information if something were to happen to you that your family could have access to as well. So that just as you're taking those other steps in life, you're adding these passwords as well and making sure that's all documented.
Well, Miguel, some sources are now saying that when you're banking, making online payments, you really need to be extra diligent because there's a lot of malicious software out there. Some are saying that if to be really secure, that you should have a separate computer that they only use for banking and nothing else. Is that something you would recommend?
Absolutely. You know, consider everything that you do in your computer. I mean, you do Google searches, you go to different sites that sometimes you don't even know about. So, and you can be exposed to, you know, what we call drive-by attacks, that you can be visiting any site at all and could be have malicious links and they could be running in the background. So you never really know what happens in those computers that you use for the internet or that are used for online gaming or anything like that. So what I would recommend is for anything that is banking, paying accounts online that, you know, every day more people do that, have a completely separate machine, may that be on a basement or in an office or a laptop that it's only used for those cases of confidential information. Where is that going to be used? That would be my recommendation.
This brings up the hacking, the viruses. Seems like it's all getting more and more sophisticated, and means that users have to be more sophisticated when they in regards to cybersecurity. So in the future, we just have to stay on top of this, Miguel?
Absolutely. You know, this is an ever-changing landscape, actually. What we say in security is, well, actually, there are two things to remember. What is true today, especially in cybersecurity, may change completely tomorrow. And we have seen that so many times. Something else to remember when you're online is, three simple letters, TNO, is what I call the trust no one. And sometimes it could be a little harsh. But, when you're online, you're in the world. Always keep that in mind.
Trust no one. Well, Emily, in regards to the state of South Dakota, are there certain things that the state is doing to get the word out about staying safe online?
Absolutely. We're doing the best that we can to continue to keep our state employees updated on cybersecurity awareness. We have a blog, blog.bit.sd.gov, where we routinely, monthly or biweekly put out a security article that provides tips and tricks, just like we're talking about today, phishing scams to social media engineering and the like. Miguel also manages cybersecurity.sc.gov, which is an awesome resource for keeping updated and staying aware of these tips and tricks for staying safe online.
And Miguel, new internet scams, viruses popping up every day?
Almost every day, I would say. And if, for example, we all have antiviruses, malware protection. Let's say that a piece of malware is discovered today. Tomorrow there will be a variation of it. So something else to consider is in the security world, we have to always get it right every single time. The bad guys, the hackers out in the world, in the whole world, they only have to get it right one time, and they will win. So keep that in mind.
Well, Miguel, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to join us on Dakota Midday.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And Emily, thanks for your time as well.
Thank you.